Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Welcome back to this episode of the Blue Collar BS podcast. I am your co-host, Brad, along with the award-winning co-host,
Steve,
wearing his boy band haircut today.
I don't know many boy bands that have a haircut like this.
Well, it looks like a boy band cut to me, so it's okay. I'm okay. Old. Remember that?
You are old.
So as we just got done recording with another guest here a little bit ago, we're talking about what we got to get done. We got to get some stuff taken care of. And lo and behold, you say, I have an idea. So you have an idea, which is not normal for the show, which everybody knows, right? Don't lie. Our audience
knows
how this show works. And so when you say you have an idea, I'm hitting record. So we hit record.
You hit record.
So let's go. What are we talking about?
Let's go down the trust path from a leadership perspective.
Okay.
Because you and I, we have a lot of conversations with people, whether they're clients.
Yes, we do talk to people. That is true.
I do talk to people. You talk to people.
I talk to my dog too. Dog doesn't care.
Yeah, the dog don't care. Dog don't care. As long as you feed it, it trusts you. Pretty much. Well, lo and behold, a lot of things that we see is about how, when we're at work and how hard we work or not hard we work, often comes down to how much do we trust each other and trust leadership. Okay. So, riddle me this, Batman.
Okay.
Help me connect the dots. So let's say for some reason, you know, we're coming up on 6 months into the year.
As a matter of fact, this will be airing July 3rd. So happy 250th birthday, USA.
Happy 250. So regardless of, you know, what month this is airing, your leadership team, let's hypothetically say, Batman, that your leadership team looks at their numbers and says, you know what, we need to do something different. So all your goals, gone. How you do your work, changing.
Okay.
And at some point, people are either going to say, yes, I'm in, or you know what, I've had enough and I'm gonna move on.
Yes, that is a true statement.
Right?
How often have we gone from the Batmobile to the Flintstonemobile and back to, you know, the Mach 5? Are we doing this every quarter, every month, every 6 months, every 3 years?
No, let's just hypothetically say it just happened this year. Okay. Right?
So this is not a common occurrence. This is just something that occurred because of conditions.
This is just something that occurred.
All right.
Right. And
I want to make sure it's not habitual.
No, and we're just hypothetically saying it hasn't occurred before. The thing that might be occurring is you have a lot of newer people to an organization, and you know, about 6 months in, you kind of get a feel for what's working, what's not working, and we need to do something different because things aren't working. Things aren't going the way they could be going. So let's literally throw a grenade in and see what happens. So now
it's an option.
And so we're going to announce as a leadership team, we're going to announce that, hey, we're going to make some changes. We don't exactly know the ramifications of these changes yet, but we're going to make changes.
Great. Let the storytelling begin.
Correct. Hey, hold on. We're not there yet.
All right.
Because we're going to have a team meeting, and we're announcing that there's changes coming.
We're going to have a team meeting to announce that there are changes coming, but we don't know what they are. So everybody,
hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're reading the tea leaves.
Did I jump the gun?
We're gonna make some changes. How we've done things is gonna be completely different. And overall, we're gonna do things in this manner. So I'm gonna give you high level. This is how we're now gonna operate. Okay. And some of you are gonna change roles, some of you are gonna do some things, have to do some things differently. But we don't exactly know everything yet, but we're just telling you, starting July 1st, we're going to do everything differently. Okay. And so that's the meeting.
Right? I'm only laughing because I've been through a couple of these in my lifetime.
Well, like, who hasn't? But, you know, so
most Gen Zs have not been through that yet.
No, they haven't. Right. So when you are a younger Gen Z, even millennials, some millennials have never been through this type of change, but they've been through some. But so, Batman, tell me, what do you think starts to happen?
Well, let's see. First of all, you get the meetings after the meetings of the clicks of people going, what the fuck's going on? What's happening? Mm-hmm. So you get that going on. You get the old timers going, yeah, these leaders, they don't know what they're talking about. I'm just going to go do what I'm going to do like I always do. And if they don't like it, they can fire me. And then you're going to have the younger folks that are there that haven't experienced to go, this makes no sense to me. There's not clear communication. I'm out. I'm leaving. I'm going to bounce as quickly as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, everybody's telling themselves stories and or they are... There's a parade route going in and out of the offices of the leadership group, asking questions left and right about what's going on with ideas out of the yin yang, where everybody's like, oh yeah, I was just in by Johnny and Johnny said, we're going to do this. And now I was in by Johnny and Johnny told me this, and that's not the same story. And now we're going to have conflict and other things because, you know, leader Johnny is doing just pacifying people because he has no idea what he's talking about.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now let's add a new caveat.
So Mike, are we close on any of this?
I mean, hypothetically, you're kind of close, but let's say that leadership, right, is off handling all the big problems that are keeping the company moving forward. So they're not available for conversation. So we don't have a parade of people going in and out of offices. There's a void.
Okay.
There's a void.
Even worse.
The other thing that...
Maybe not worse, but different. Right?
The other thing, Batman, that we need to kind of look at, hypothetically, is let's say, because a lot of the people are newer to the organization, they have moved from other organizations where turnover was very high. Change happened frequently. And when leaders said something and didn't follow through, that's why they left.
Mm-hmm.
So, Batman, hypothetically, when...
Same grass, different yard. That's right.
So, how can anyone take reins from a trust perspective in this scenario?
Ooh. Ooh. There are so is this a service-based or manufacturing-based organization?
Hypothetically,
service-based or manufacturing?
It's more service-based hypothetically, but I've seen it play out in manufacturing.
Oh, but the reason I asked the question, cuz I think if there were two sides of the wall, right? If there was the floor side and then the office side, there's some different things at play here, but if there's only an office side and not a manufacturing or warehouse component or something like that, I think it's different.
Yes and no.
Right. Because both sides of that wall, both sides of that door are going to handle that differently, potentially. Whereas the office side, it's someone in the office, someone either tenured, someone likely tenured, that's going to be of a somewhat looked up two things would either happen. One, the person that's most tenured is all of a sudden going to try to take the lead to figure it all out and keep everybody at bay, at keep everybody down from a title perspective. Or there'll be somebody on the floor inside the organization that has massive personal power with no title that will do all the things to figure it out and try to keep everybody calm and just continue to do the work so that we can move forward and keep things happening to potentially leverage the opportunity for a conversation to not make the changes happen.
Okay. That's interesting theories. Those are all hype.
You just called me stupid. Thank you very much.
I just said they were interesting theories.
I know what I heard.
I'd liken this to, you know, people are just like a loaf of bread. Some people are the crust. Some people are the gooey middle. Right? They all soak up the crap that's going on. So regardless of if it's a professional services or manufacturing, it's all the same.
But how it happens without leadership around it, it will happen differently. Because typically, if I have those two sides of the wall, right? I've got the office and I've got the shop. There's typically a clear delineation of a second level leadership group of some way, shape, or form, or a second level of leader that is out there that could be the go-to to absorb some of that chaos and noise and be that receiver of concern or conversation, whereas an office may not have that, is why I was asking that question.
All right. So you went down a path of personal power, which is very intriguing. So help our listeners understand that much deeper, and how can they help from a trust perspective when leadership hasn't provided really anything other than, hey, change is happening?
So you have, if we're taking this down a generational path here, right? So the older generation is going to, now if these leaders have been around a long time, those leaders have earned the trust of the older generations working there to move forward. So they've earned that trust to say, okay, this is what's going to happen. Whether they like it or not is another story, but maybe they're on board. The younger generation start with their trust bucket full, and they came to work here because of the trust bucket being full. And now that trust bucket is going to be emptied out very quickly, which is going to create a big divide inside the organization or in their turnover situation, most likely.
Okay. And so knowing leaders, you know, they think they're being transparent. How can leaders, or what advice would you have for leaders that think they're being transparent by telling people, oh, this is coming. The date now came, and guess what didn't come? A set of expectations on the change.
Should they make changes?
Yeah, changes have been made.
They made the change. Okay, I thought maybe the date came and they didn't make changes. Which would make it even worse.
Changes are made. And so now people are like, okay, the changes are made. However, what was also said,
total chaos,
in addition to making the changes, how the measurement for success changed. But
was it outlined and defined what the measurement is?
And hypothetically, let's say it's not defined.
That's a problem.
But how so?
Because if you don't know what winning looks like every day, you have no idea. Nobody has any idea. They're just coming in and going to punch a clock. And if you all of a sudden want to make this change in this initiative, no one's going to put their back into it because why?
And then at the end of the day,
and then it's not going to matter what generation it's part of or what the work is. Why would I do that? I'm going to come in, collect my check, you could end up with the whole quiet quitting thing. You could end up with the whole minimum effort. You're going to end up with most likely a lot of anger and frustration amongst team members if their belief systems aren't in alignment, or, you know, everything just got completely turned upside down. So what was isn't, and what is unknown. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to make the unknown known and make the expectation clear.
So with, and again, leadership's not available to clarify.
How can they make the changes and not have leadership be available to clarify? Are they all on fucking vacation? Did they all go to the Bahamas? I mean, did they win the lottery? What's going on?
They're all working on their largest clients in servicing them. This is a fun hypothetical situation for you.
Oh, man. Every leader is out servicing the larger clients?
Yeah, the main leaders, hypothetically, main leaders are all out. So your boss, their boss, and
how
the
can
owner.
How can I say this really politely? They're fucked.
But how so? How so? Because
Batman. Because no one's around to take care of the change. No one's around to create the opportunity for communication and clarity. No one's around to be able to see the noise and chaos. And when the leader comes back after servicing the primary client's going to go, how come all this stuff isn't done correctly? Because nobody knew it was fucking done correctly. Everybody's going to say, well, screw you, Batman. You're out gallivanting around, enjoying life and golfing and supporting your, doing all these things, taking care of the client. And we're back here, you know, the finger up our ass trying to figure out what we're supposed to be doing and hoping it's right. And no one cares. And there's no direction because you guys are out gallivanting around the world to do what you think is right for the, you know, hopefully at least it's the 80-20, hopefully at least it's the 80-20 principle of the clients and the revenue and the profitability, but most likely it's not. It's mostly my hunch is it's probably ego driven versus data driven.
I don't know. It's hypothetical.
Hypothetically, that's my prediction.
Yeah, I got that. But what I'm looking at is where has the personal power gone in this situation?
For who?
For the employees that are kind of like, okay, I don't know kind of how I'm measuring success, how they're measuring success. They haven't been defined. So why am I, what is preventing me from creating that this is what success is going to look like and going and executing on that?
Was that the culture beforehand?
Neither yes nor no. But what was clear before was defined measure of success.
Correct. So there's a defined measure of success. So if there is a total in, if there isn't a defined measure of success, you may have an individual or two who are like, fuck it. Instead of being told what I'm going to do, I'm going to go pave my own way. There is that possibility that could happen. I can say that was one of the things that I felt very successful with doing what I was doing in my subcontract world, because it's like nobody cared about what I was doing. I mean, they cared, but nobody wanted to get into the details as long as we were delivering the results. The key was I knew what the results were, right? And some of those results, I fabricated those results, say, this is why this is important, and here's how it aligns to what we're trying to accomplish from getting either parts out the door, parts in the door, machines out the door, whatever that might look like. So if somebody has that high enough CD behavioral style to be able to see the context and do that, they could potentially put themselves in a niche to take a leadership run in an area and have the troops rally around them. It's possible. But if they didn't have that social clout previously, it's not just going to come up magically overnight because people are looking for something to happen, because they're all in their own cliques. They're all in their own department areas or whatever it is, most likely, hypothetically speaking, and taking care of themselves because they're going to go take care of themselves because no one else is. Because there's nobody there's no beacon to turn to understand what is really going on. Right. Great. We're doing everything different. We went from blue paper to, it wasn't right. We went from blue paper to Etch-a-Sketches.
Fantastic. Great.
Fantastic. Nobody knows how to use an Etch-a-Sketch. So how do we make this work? Well, is the Etch-a-Sketch going to stick around for the next 2 years, or is this a 1 week thing? And they're going to say, we're going to go back to the way it was, 'cause this isn't working either. With the leaders being gone, taking care of the primary customers, the success opportunity is, I'm going to call, very slim to be able to create the change and get the impact they were looking for. Because it's not important to them.
Ooh.
Because they're not there.
Interesting. So what they're sending a message hypothetically, when your leadership,
this is like parents telling their kids don't go out and don't go drink, but yet mom and dad are sitting there drinking. Yeah, well, we're from Wisconsin, so that's not a bad example, but
yeah,
right. Kids don't go out and drink, but then I'm drinking a 12 pack every night.
Right. Don't do the thing that I'm doing right now. Do as I say, not as I do.
Correct.
Right. So from a trust standpoint, where can companies and leaders take the ball and run in a scenario like this? Like where would you have said it started with first? Started the breakdown.
Well, it started with the premature release of information.
Mm. But I'm trying to be transparent, and that's what people want. They want transparency.
Transparency without clarity is just opaqueness.
It is.
Let that sink
in. Yeah, it is. It is. It absolutely is. So what would your advice be to employees that are facing this scenario with their leadership team?
The most likely what's going to happen is you're going to come back with the pitchforks and tiki torches and all the things and all the anger that's going to come out of it, right? So the leadership side of it needs to recognize that they failed as leaders because they weren't there through a massive change.
Mm-hmm.
So the employees are going to be most likely upset, hypothetically, unengaged, disenfranchised with what anything they're going to tell you moving forward. Because if it's incongruent, like it was this time, why would I believe it's going to happen again? Why would I think it's going to be different if your actions and your words are not in alignment with each other? Right. This is the thing we just got done. Right. What I don't care what you tell me. Just make sure your actions align with. This is where a lot of things get really wrong. We pay attention to what people say, not what they do. Right. The leader said something, and then what they did is they left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they abandoned the team through an entire massive change of structure and infrastructure and results-based requirements and all the things. So they abandoned their family, essentially. And now they're going to come back in after all they're done, whatever. Oh, hey, how's it going? And they're going to get their asses handed to them for not doing what was expected because no one was clear on what was expected.
Right. Yeah.
I just had this guy. There's a stupid analogy that I came up with the other day with one of my clients. It's like, hey, their transportation company. And I'm like, oh, you got to go take this delivery from Milwaukee to Madison. And they get to Madison and they get yelled at for, well, how come you didn't stop in Oak Creek and pick that other thing up? Told me I was supposed to go from Milwaukee to Oak Creek to Madison because it wasn't on my dispatch list. It wasn't communicated, but I knew that I was right. But how come you didn't? I knew you needed to go there, but you didn't. Nobody communicated what was supposed to happen or what the requirements were.
Yep.
So now the employee's pissed because he's getting yelled at because the guy didn't tell him what was required. Yep. And now we've got conflict. We have conflict versus trust. And you as a trusted edge leader person should probably be able to come up with the hypothetical here solution for this whole scenario. So, Mr. Stephen Doyle, give us the answer.
Give you the answer. Well, honestly, it really starts with just laying down what are those foundational expectations, just like we talked about. Right? These are the expectations. There's going to be uncertainty. This is where we are going to be certain. And when you have questions, if you have questions right now, let's answer those questions. Ask and answer. Let's get clarity because what's unclear is not trusted.
Well, and if you can't answer the question, be honest that I can't answer the question. And move
and
forward.
It's not, I can't, you know, that it's not like, oh, that's above your pay grade type answer. It's, I don't know yet. These are the things that need to happen for us to know and be transparent with these are the steps to gain the clarity, plain and simple. But the more we can be clear to help clear up that ambiguity, the uncertainty, the more people start seeing and trusting us as leaders, and the more consistent we are with our clarity and communicating that, the better off it is. It's not, oh, you know, have a meeting, throw it out there. hey, I'm going to be, you know, and it's also setting the expectation as well from a, this is when we are going to revisit this from a follow-up perspective and do what you say you're going to do.
Put it on the calendar, do something. There's nothing more frustrating than having a leader and having one-on-ones and they always reschedule them.
100%.
Oh, guess what? That means our one-on-one time is not important because you're always rescheduling them. So why would I care?
Yeah. All right. Well, how about this? I'll let you just reschedule it and I'm just going to go off and do my own thing.
Yeah. I'm just not going to have them. And if it's something you need to know, then you just come and tell me.
Yep.
So, what is, now that your deck is all done, graduation is over, are you, you got a big 4th of July party planned here?
We don't tomorrow? Do 4th of July parties. We let all the people, it's huge travel in Michigan, travel weekend. We do not travel. Like, no, let everybody else go do that thing. Because that's, I do not want to sit hours in traffic. Not my jam. Not my traffic jam.
Okay. Fair enough.
You, my friend, do you got a bash going on?
I do not. This is bizarre. It's my brother-in-law's party. Oh. It's just hosted at our house.
That's right. Right?
So I expect to have, you know, 40 to 70 people somewhere throughout the day at our house and doing all the things and whatever it's going to be. And then the Sunday, I have a party with a bunch of small business owners, networking partners, different things. So probably doing some brisket. We'll probably do some smoked mac and cheese again. Maybe do some pulled pork. Don't know what I'm going to do from a meat perspective. Just depends on
get you some pork belly cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, say what? Buddy.
Yeah, buddy. Some pork belly cinnamon rolls. Get you a slab of pork belly. Cut it into one inch strips, 1 inch thick, 1 inch wide strips.
Uh huh.
Put some cinnamon sugar, roll them up, smoke them. Take them out of the pork.
Oh, so you're smoking them while they're, you're smoking them rolled up. Okay. I was thinking you're going to smoke them. You're going to smoke it, then get a little bark on it, and then
smoke them rolled up. So put some skewers in them, smoke them rolled up. Then, you know, once you got them to about the right temperature, it's maybe like 2 hours. Get yourself a cast iron skillet, throw some butter in it, some brown sugar in it. Get that going. Dip them in there, flip them over. Yeah, buddy. Oh, oh yeah.
I was thinking it was all different type of thing. I was thinking, hey, we're going to put the cinnamon sugar on the pork belly as part of that and let it smoke with that.
So when you roll it up, you smoke some of the cinnamon sugar. You do a brown sugar cinnamon.
I thought you were going to just leave it all open and not roll it up.
And then sprinkle a little Celtic salt on it on the end. Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to put that recipe out on our show notes then, Mr. Doyle.
Yeah. That's some good eating right there.
All right. Well, happy birthday, USA 250. You know, we are just infants in world of this planet. Uh-huh. That is for sure. So. Well, you enjoy creating trust with your family over this holiday weekend.
I will, and you do the same.
And I will do the same. So thank you for the topic. Thank you for coming to the table and providing value to the Blue Collar BS Podcast, the award-winning Blue Collar BS Podcast.